Good morning and Happy New Year. Good to see you again. Well, time goes by fast, isn't it? Yes, it is already 2024. It seems like it was yesterday we had a New Year's worship for 2023. And that's how I feel, because I come and go in and out every almost like a 6 months. To Korea, back to America. So time goes by really fast, by chunk of time, like 6 months at once. Great to see you all again. Great to see you all. Well, it is the first day of the new year, and I was like thinking like, what should I preach on the first day of the year, first Sunday of the year? And this passage came to my mind for obvious reason. We believe in the tradition of the Reformation of Church of the 16th century, right? Deep down in our heart, we have blood of the Reformation, which means we believe in the Scripture. We believe in the Scripture. The principle of the Reformation back then was sola scriptura, scripture only. So scripture alone is the principle and the authority that governs our life. Not only our life and salvation, but also as it comes to the interpretation of the scripture, we want to be governed by the principle of scripture as well. So for that matter, I just want to remind you this morning how our Lord Jesus left his last words to his disciples. So for really us to get into the scripture, I want to remind you of the context of this passage. As you see, it is very last moment of Jesus with his disciples. You know, he is about to go up to the heaven. In other words, he is saying final goodbye to his disciples. It's like a last moment of the last moments. And here we find something very interesting. And out of my own curiosity, what he say one more time to his own disciples, what would be that word that should last with his disciples? What would be the word that he wants to remind of one more time? And that's what we read in this passage today. And that's what I'd like to share with you. So I'll start from verse 44. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." I guess, you know, he is telling them, remind them of the past 3 years that I was with them, that Jesus was with them. You know, during that time, I told you about the kingdom of God. I gave you many lessons about the kingdom of God. And this is it. Almost like a nutshell form summary of what I have taught you while I was with you. And that's what we read in this passage. You know, personally, if I share, you know, my embarrassing story, I guess this, when I read this passage, you know, I got to remember, like, this passage just reminded me of my mother. You know, she's way over, like, 80s, so close to 90s, right? And I'm over 60s, and she still treats me like a teenager. Whenever, you know, I call her and talk to her, she always asks me if I eat well. Eat well, eat vegetables. What about your moms? Jesus, as he was about to go up to the heaven, he wanted to emphasize one more time the very important thing that was in his heart, that his own disciples must remember, that is this, that what is written, recorded in the Bible. Here it goes. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. For us, it's kind of long. Law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, what is it? Well, for us, it's kind of a long title, but for the Jews, it is very clear, because that is what is written on their Bible. In Hebrew, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketubim. There is three words written on the first, the cover page of their Bible. And nowadays, you go to a synagogue, Jewish synagogue, you find their Bible, and on the cover, it says Tanaka, come from the first consonant of these three words, Tanaka. So when Jesus said, the law of Moses and prophets and the Psalms, for us it is kind of long and strange names, but for the disciples, who are also the Jews, were very clear. It referred to their own Bible. Their Bible, that is our Old Testament Bible for us, right? So here we see that Jesus is telling them that everything written in the Bible is about me. It's about me. Here we learn very important principle from the Lord himself. In fancy way, you might call it the Jesus view or Jesus doctrine of the Old Testament. The way he sees the Bible himself, which is about him. So, in practical sense, it means a lot for us. And I'm sure whenever you read the Old Testament, you know, since it is the beginning of the year, I trust that you just started reading the Bible, right? Fresh or new, right? Not. I hope you start, you know, right away, even from today, you know. Yeah, but quite honestly, whenever you read the Old Testament Bible, the Old Testament Bible is not easy. It's not easy to just sit through to read many chapters because it's kind of hard to get the meaning of it. But here's the principle for us, in very practical sense. That is, everything written in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, you know, because at this particular time, Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. Of course, we could apply that to the entire Bible as well. We should, eventually. But for now, Jesus is saying, at least, that the Old Testament Bible actually writes about me. What do you say? What do you think? Have you read the Old Testament Bible with the perspective of, with the anticipation of Jesus from your reading? Yeah, that's exactly how we should be reading the Bible, let alone just the, you know, Old Testament itself, but just the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from now on, that should be the way we come to the Bible, with the expectation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the knowledge of Jesus Christ itself is eternal life for us. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Well, you know, whenever students hear knowledge, oh, not again. knowledge. This is not just any knowledge. This is saving knowledge. This is, in other words, eternal life. How you have eternal life when you know him. Remember that, please. When you know him, the God of the eternal Father, when you know him, you have eternal life and you get to participate in his life. you enjoy with Him the eternal life from Him. Amen? Yeah, that's how we live the life of salvation. Yes, that is Christian life. You don't just come to church to be a Christian. Being a Christian means that you eat the Word. Amen? You eat the Word. You have to read it. You have to find Him. You have to meet Him as you read the Bible. And He will become the bread from heaven. He becomes the bread from heaven. Just like a manna for the Israelites. It's an amazing thing. Well, it sounds very like weird and strange and even mystical. Yes. Yes. You have to read. As we start off the new year, still fresh, right? Still first week. I encourage you, I advise you, I urge you to read the Bible. Let's do so. Okay? Even for pastors like myself, it's not easy. I confess. Maybe it was a secret. But even for pastors to read the Bible diligently, not easy. But amazing thing about reading the Bible is I get to learn afresh every time I read the Bible. Isn't it amazing? We read the Bible over and over again. I very much know, you know, what is in the Bible. I don't still memorize all of it. But I read the Bible. But amazing thing about it is it comes to me so fresh, as if I read for the first time. I guess God is touching my heart through His Spirit at this particular passage, at this particular time and place. He is coming to me and find me. It's amazing. So whenever you feel lonely, alone, down, or even hurt, there's no one else that is willing to talk to you, please open up the Bible and read it. There you will find the Lord. There you'll find Him. Please. So that is how, that is expectation that we should have every time. And as we come to the Bible, as we try to open up the Bible and read it, that should be our expectation. I want to find Him. I want to meet Him today. I want to hear His voice. That's exactly what He said to His disciples. You know, He's about to leave Him quite for a long time, right? As He's about to go up to the heaven, and He's saying, for His last word for His own disciples, He's saying this: everything written in the Bible is actually about me. And everything that is written in the Bible must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. That is the key thing. So that gives us hope and faith. Because He says so, that it will be fulfilled. That's what we actually see from the rest of the New Testament Bible. That's what I'm going to tell you in a brief moment. So, that's what He said. And then He continues on. I come back to verse 45 a little bit later. 46, He goes, it is written, see, He repeating Himself, it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Verse 46. Yes, in other words, the Bible tells us about how He's going to die on the cross and on the third day He will rise up from the dead. Well, if you know the Bible a little bit, I'm sure that it is not too new to you, right? Yeah, you know that the Old Testament talks about Jesus how he is going to come. Right? In other words, the Old Testament prophesies about the coming of baby Jesus, like at Christmas, we just had a week ago, right? The Old Testament, you know, foretells us about the coming of Jesus and also tells us about how he is going to, he must suffer on the cross, die, and the third day, he will rise up again. So all those things are in the Old Testament. You go to seminary, and they call it redemptive history. It's kind of like a hard vocabulary. Yes, that's what Jesus did. Jesus fulfilled this history of redemption himself. He came in our place, died for us, and not only he died, you know, that's not the end of it. He actually rose up again. Hallelujah. He rose up again so that we all have life just like he himself had life again. Resurrection. But what I like to emphasize from this passage is not just that. I just want to remind you one more time, because that's what Jesus said so, is verse 47. Once again, a lot of Christians, many Christians who've been faithful and diligent, going to church and participating in Bible studies and so on, know about 46. But many, many still miss out 47. What is actually written in the Old Testament and what is actually must be fulfilled for Christ himself includes 47 as well. Are you with me? Yeah, 47. What is it? That repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. Aha. If you remember the rest of the New Testament, how it progresses from like the book of Acts and on down to the apostles' letters and down to Revelation of John, all the rest of the New Testament is actually about verse 47. Do you see it? Please answer. Do you see it? If not, I will explain it again. Do you see it?
Yes.
Yes. I'm so excited about this. You know, quite honestly, because I'm always kind of like, had an attitude issue, you know, since my childhood. I don't take things the way it is. I always have to break it apart and just put it together and so that I have to see how it makes sense. And my question, whenever I read the Bible, because my father told me so, but I find that you need only 4 books to learn about Jesus. You only need 4 books. Like what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and that's it. Because the rest of it is not Jesus. You don't see Jesus anymore. It's about someone else telling about Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So I had an issue with that. Well, you don't really need the rest of it. Why do you have it? Why do you say that this is still the Bible? When it is, written by so-and-so, and written for the churches in all different areas, for people, eventually it is about people, how we live as a Christian also. Well, I had issues with it. I had some attitude about that. I didn't like it. Until I come to seminary and learn about this. What Jesus is saying is that even all that is about me. Do you see that? The message, the gospel, that just like I preach now, all the pastors out there, all the missionaries out there still preach in the name of Jesus. What? What do they preach? Believe in Jesus so that you may, your sins may be forgiven and you have eternal life. That's what they preach all the time. And that's exactly what is written here. That is verse 47. From Jerusalem. Starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way to the end of the earth. Do you see that? Jesus is saying that all those work, all that work is still my work. Wow. No wonder that is why it is still included in the Bible. Does it make sense for you? Does it make sense?
Yes.
It is about him. That disciples, you know, that we call them the apostles later on. The disciples become the apostles. So apostles go out and preach, witness the name of Christ, so that the gospel is spread and churches pop up here and there, even here today. Right? What is it? It is still work of Christ. It is still about him and must be fulfilled until he returns again. That we come to the church and worship God is his business. It's his work. That is his interest. That is his mission. That we come to church. We don't come to church just to be religious, to be noble, and just to act like we are classy people or something. It's not for us. Of course, we are blessed through that. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. But we first have to remember that we are doing it for him. Because he said that it must be fulfilled. Because it is his work. It is about him. So that is exactly what is happening throughout the rest of the New Testament. But just for the sake of time, I know you get bored already. So I just want to move on quickly as possible. So just want to remind, just to point out a few passages from the book of Acts. Just to see what the apostles end up preaching. You know, the book of Acts. What is the book of Acts? It is the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles. Remember that. It's Acts of the Apostles. And so we see what they do. Please turn to Acts 3:18. Acts 3:18 and 19. If you can, let us read it together. I'm going to read from ESV, okay, 18 and 19. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he does fulfill. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. And let's continue. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Okay, we'll stop there. It's kind of long. Yeah. One more time. Come back to 18. What those guys are preaching, even the prophets in the past, in the Old Testament times, here are the prophets. It's not just the official prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc. Prophets represent the whole Old Testament Bible. As if the ministry of the Old Testament Bible is to foretell to the people about who Jesus is and what he is to do. And that's what we see here. God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ would have to come and suffer. This must be fulfilled. And not only that, therefore, now I preach, now I deliver the word. Repent in the name of the Lord. That's exactly what just happened since chapter 2 and on. That's what we read. People, thousands of come to believe in Jesus Christ. This amazing thing is happening in Jerusalem. What we see here, that's fulfillment of what Jesus just said in the last chapter of Gospel Luke. Do you see that? Are you with me? Do you see that? Yes. Okay. So we just, you know, checked. We just found out that actually apostles are doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Okay. Next passage. Please turn to Acts 10:43. Actually, you can start from reading like way up, like 34 and on. But I'll just read 43. Let's read it together. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Yes. This is the message. This is the gospel. This is like even the Old Testament prophets, you know, Old Testament messengers, everybody, all the servants of God appeared in the Old Testament Bible. That's all they did. If you sum it up in one word, that's what it is. All the prophets bear witness that Jesus will come and die for us. And everyone who believes in his name shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Yes. And that is about me. What is written? Everything written in the Bible is actually about me and must be fulfilled. That's exactly what is happening right now in the book of Acts of the Apostle. Do you see that? Yes. You must see it. Please, bear with me. All right? It's just two more passages. Acts 26. 22 and 23. Let me see. Okay, it's kind of long, but let's read it together. Acts 26, 22 and 23. Okay, here it goes. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he should proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles, to our people and to the Gentiles. What do you see? That's exactly, you know, what Jesus said, that it must be fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. That's exactly what the apostles are doing here in this book of Acts. Apostle Paul, he was being tried before King Agrippa. And he says, here, I said nothing but what the prophets and the Moses has said. In other words, I said nothing but what is in the Bible. That's what Paul is saying. I say nothing but what is written in the Bible. And what is written in the Bible? Again, he repeats, Jesus must suffer and die and rise again. And whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Nothing else but this. And Jesus said that this must be delivered, must be fulfilled from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. One more time. One last time, the very last verse of the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 30 and 31. Apostle Paul is, in a sense, like imprisoned in his own house. So he's staying at home, and he's not allowed to come out. So the people, instead, come and visit him to hear from him, to learn and the lessons, like about the kingdom of God. So here, verse 30 and 31. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Amen. Thank you. That is the end of the book of Acts. But funny thing is, what was happening was not really over and finished. What do you say? You know, since my childhood, whenever I finished the book of Acts, you know, I said, this is it? You know, this is that how it ends? It's not finished. It's not over yet. And this book just stopped here. So that really bothered me. It really bothered me. I really didn't like it. What kind of book is this? It just stopped in the middle of it. Well, I was right. That's exactly what was implied, intended. What it is telling us is that this work, this ministry must continue on, still being continued on through the churches until his return, until the coming of Jesus Christ again. Isn't it amazing? That's amazing. So what we see in the book of Acts is how the whole ministry started, actually through the apostles, and then it is being carried on through the churches planted by the apostles, and even down to us, our churches, and even the churches that will appear later on, churches and churches and churches until the coming of the Lord again. So this ministry continues on. And Jesus said, that is still my work. And so that Apostle Paul shows us that he was doing this ministry with all the boldness, without any hindrance. Come on, you are imprisoned. You're stuck at home. You cannot come out of your house. But what is happening instead? All the people are coming to him to hear about the message about the kingdom of heaven. People are coming to you. So Apostle Paul is able to do the ministry day in and day out, teaching about the Lord Jesus and the kingdom of God with all the boldness and all the power, without any hindrance. Is that the end of the story? No, it is not. It is not at all the end. It continues on. The job, the ministry is not finished. That's how we see the Bible. That is exactly what Jesus said. That all this is about me. So here's a pop quiz for you. The title for this book is Book of Acts of the Apostles. Apostles. Now, you might switch the word. It is the Book of the Acts of who? Of who? Of us, yes, us too. And us too. Us good. Ours good. But it is essentially is the work of who? Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes down. And the apostles are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So they are able to do the work. Okay, so let us go back to our passage, to the Luke 24, the last part. Okay. Go back. So 47 with the 47. So 48, that is title for today's message. I'm jumping, you know, here and there, so I'm kind of very unorganized today. But please bear with me. 48, let us read together. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. First of all, these things, not just this thing, these things, meaning 46 and 47 as well. Okay, please remember, Jesus used the plural words, not singular. Jesus is not saying that you're witness of this thing. He's saying that these things, meaning verse 46 and 47, both of them. And that's exactly what we just have seen in the book of Acts. And that mission applies to us as well, just as it applied to the apostles 2,000 years ago. Amen? Yes. That is what we want to just to decide and commit ourselves for this year, 2024. As we begin a fresh new year, what be the thing that we want to do for the Lord and for ourselves is that you are witness of these things. There's no like a time expiration for this command, actually. But I just want to simply remind you of one more time that we are the witnesses of these things, that Jesus died on the cross and resurrected, okay? But not only that whoever believes in his name will be forgiven and have eternal life, right? We must witness to them. But quite frankly, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. I'm not sure, right? Because I'm not too strong. I'm not that powerful. I'm not that willing to go out and just approach anybody and grab anybody and talk to people about this. Well, for that, Jesus saying, 49, behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you. What is it? Holy Spirit. The promise. Promise. Remember that word? But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power. Remember the word, the power from on high. Promise. When I was reading this passage, when I come to this word, the promise, that reminds me of certain people. What comes to your mind? I want to ask you. Promise. I'm sending you the promise. Promise means that promise was made in the past. Is that correct? Yes, promise means that it has been made since the past. So who had the promise? Who received the promise? And sisters, people of the Old Testament, remember that? For example, you turn to the Hebrews 11, you read the whole chapter, it is about the Old Testament people, like the ancestors of faith, they are commended for their good faith. All those names listed there, because they had promise. But they never saw. Actually, they didn't see the promise being fulfilled. But they still lived and waiting for the promise. And that promise that Old Testament people actually was waiting for is what? What is it? This promise is what? Come on, read it. Look at the verse 49. I'm sending you the promise. Who is it? Holy Spirit, yes. It is the Holy Spirit. So promise was given to the Old Testament people. Promise. But the promise was not just the Son, Jesus Christ alone, but through him, what is coming? Holy Spirit is coming. Often, our eyes stop the end of the book of John, just like myself. Right? My expectation used to be we only need four books in the New Testament. Why do you have so many books? Right? The reason we had Acts and Romans and so on and on is because the promise was not just Jesus alone. Through Jesus, Jesus sent his Spirit to us. Yes. Amen? Amen? And then there's another word that really, catches our eyes. That is power. Power. Where do you see power? Who had power? Who exercises power in their life? Are the people of the New Testament. New Testament Christians, believers. So New Testament Christian life is so typically exemplified through power. Like that you have Holy Spirit is manifested through power. power to just defeat our sinful nature, power to say no, power to stop, right? Or sometimes power to reach out, sometimes power to serve. Power is a thing of New Testament believers, us Christians. The power is the Holy Spirit, right? Yes. So Jesus is saying that basically you cannot do it alone. You must be my witness of all these things, but you cannot do it alone. You need the power that has been promised since long, long time ago to your like ancestors. Now I'm sending you what has been promised, which is the power for you, the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? So that you can actually do my work. Amen. For the conclusion of this message, I turn to verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. I pray that you experience this throughout this year and for the rest of your life, the whole life. Amen. This should be the blessing for you. That Holy Spirit open your minds so that you may understand the Word. You may understand the Scripture. It is only possible through the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes, He will open our eyes so that we understand His Word. So that we will find Him. We will feel His temperature, right? We will feel like a breath coming out of His mouth. Sometimes it spits on your face. That's the promise. That is the promise. That is what Jesus is saying right now to His own disciples, and at the same time to us as well. So, please, you might as well believe in this promise, because it has been already fulfilled 2,000 years ago, very much. Holy Spirit also has come. He is with us today. So, you just pray, ask God just to open your eyes, open your mind, so that, Lord, I'm about to read the Scripture, your Word, as you told me, so I'm going to read it. So you better just open my eyes and just be able to understand it. Right? God will answer you. God will answer you. Because that's what He has said. That's what He had promised. That's what He is doing. That's exactly what He did for us. And He is still doing it. And you are witnesses of these things. Let us pray. Lord God, we once again thank you for giving us this year, 2024. It's just a fresh new year. But as we just begin, we are once again reminded of your word, how we should live this year as well. You are telling us to be witnesses of these things. So help us, Lord, we will obey, so you open our eyes, so that we may understand your word, so that eventually we may go out and preach, share your word, be witnesses, so that people will come to you and believe in you, and be forgiven, and have salvation through your name. We honor and glorify you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.